So our epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Brethren, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was by nature God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to, but emptied himself, taking the nature of a slave and being made like unto men. And appearing in the form of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore God has also exalted him, and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. Please stand for Holy Gospel. Once again, this is taken from the ceremony of Palm Sunday. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then he sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tied in a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone say anything to you, you shall say that the Lord hath need of them, and immediately he will send them." Now all this was done, that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled: "Thou, the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king comes to thee, meek, and seated upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of the beast of burden." So the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. And they brought the ass and the colt, laid their cloaks on them, and made him sit thereon. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks upon the road, while others were cutting branches from the trees and strewing them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and those that followed kept crying out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Thus far the words of today's epistle, the gospel for the ceremony. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Brethren, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what is St. Paul telling us here? Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He goes on to explain, doesn't he? Said he, being God, did not consider it something to be clung to, but became obedient even to the death of the cross. Here it's important, I think, for us to consider to ourselves in our heart of hearts who Christ really is to us. Is it part of a story? Something of significance, but not as much as perhaps it should be, or he should be. Consider the people that surrounded Christ on that first Palm Sunday. They got caught up in the ceremony and the celebration, didn't they? No doubt they were happy and they thought they were excited. And they thought that was great. But where was that crowd 4 days later? 5 days later, when there was a great crowd, not singing hosannas, but asking for the death of Christ. Crucify him, crucify him, away with him. Fair weather friends are not friends at all. Neither are fair weather lovers of Christ. Things are going hunky-dory, and we feel good about life, and so everything's good. But then we get the cross, or we get a contradiction, or we get a persecution, or we get a temptation, and we abandon, and some even attack Christ. And if they don't attack him directly, they attack him indirectly. And when we do this, we're no better than those people that on the one day were crying Hosanna, and the next day were crying for the life of Christ, asking for him to be crucified. And this is where it's important for us to pause today on this Palm Sunday and ask ourselves, what type of mind do I have about Christ? Who is he to me? After all, we say that when we receive the Holy Eucharist, we receive him, body, blood, soul, divinity. Therefore, when we say we receive him, we also say that when we walk into this building here, we walk into his presence most uniquely. But how do we treat him? How do we come in? Humble and obedient, or arrogant and prideful? I'm afraid too many people cheat themselves out of the opportunity of grace that they could have when they walk into Christ's presence. When we read of the Gospels and you see the Pharisees going up to our Lord and talking to our Lord, those were moments of grace, all of them. But they weren't seeking grace. They were seeking things of self. They were seeking to attack. They were seeking to play politics with something that politics has nothing to do with. Because truth is truth, no matter how you look at it. And he is the way, and the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by him, and that's the fact. Now, who is he to us? When we read of the Passion, or the accounts of the Passion, like today we read of St. Matthew's, through the course of the week we'll read all four evangelists. Today was St. Matthew's. And you read, if you pay attention, you see the opportunity of grace given to every soul that was around that crucifix on that hill, Calvary, or that was around Christ during his passion and death. Some are very explicit. Christ walks up, goes to the apostles, warns them that they would lose faith, warns Peter that he would deny him, wakes Peter up, says, pray that you may not be led into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He gives them warnings, but still Peter fell. Judas gave him moments of grace, looked him straight into the eye and said, thou hast said it. What you are about to do, go do quickly. Judas knew that Christ knew that he was up to no good. But Judas was playing politics, trying to force God's hand and make things happen which were not in his realm to make happen. The rest of the apostles, they abandoned him, and Christ told them that they would. You will all abandon me. You will all leave me this evening. That's after they went to the first Mass, when it was in the night that it was instituted. Moments of grace. Yeah, Caiaphas had a moment of grace when he abjured Christ by the living God to tell him if he was the Son of God, and he said, thou hast said it. And then painted the picture of what would take place. And you will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud in judgment. Caiaphas didn't pay attention to that warning. Played politics and theatrics, ripping his garments and writing our Lord's death sentence. Pilate had moments of grace. Walks up to Christ, has this conversation with him. Christ tells him straight up that he is a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. Pilate finds no fault in him, but Pilate plays politics. In today's gospel, or today's reading of the Passion, it says that he saw that a rebellion was going to start, so he decided, okay, even though he knew that Christ was innocent, I find no cause in him. Christ mistreats our Lord, gives him a punishment which an abuse of justice, has him scourged, then comes has him brought back and questioned again, and Christ is silent. Because Pilate has abused his authority, which was given to him by God. For all authority, being true, is given by God, whether it be civil, parental, ecclesiastical, or otherwise. And Pilate says, "Don't you know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?" And he says, our Lord stops, looks him in the eyes, and another moment of grace, and he said, "You would have no power over me. Not unless it had been given you from above. But he who delivered me to thee, he has the greater sin." And Pilate, he felt that moment of grace. And so he tried with more diligence to get Christ released. He should have just released Christ. But he was playing politics with something that politics shouldn't be played with. Do you want me to release to you Barabbas or Christ? Or Jesus, who is called Christ? There, every person in that crowd that looked up had a moment of grace. Just like we get moments of grace when we take a look at a holy picture or the cross, crucifix on the end of our rosary beads or in our homes. Actual grace. Some in the crowd, no doubt, felt, but very few. Others went with the crowd. "Away with him! Crucify him!" And they yelled for his life, and they threw that moment of grace away. And we can go on through the course of the passion and death of Christ, the reading of it, and see all these moments of grace. How about when they nailed Christ to the cross, and they raised it? And the earth started to rumble, and there were earthquakes, and darkness covered the whole sky. Whenever I think of that, I think of an incident that happened in 1980 when I was in second grade. I was in Spokane, and a mountain not too far from here erupted, Mount St. Helens. And this dark sheet covered the sky. In the middle of the day, and it was nighttime, or it looked like nighttime. And I remember that because I was in second grade, I was in boarding school, and I was not with my mom. And I was fearful and scared. Those people that saw that night, or that night-covered sky in the middle of the day, that was a moment of grace for them, and it did shake some of them, didn't it? The centurion, when Christ had died, he got down on his knees and says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." How about the moment of grace? Christ on the cross. A sinistrum, a dexterum, two thieves on either side of Christ. They're both joining with the crowd, making fun of Christ. "You saved the others, save us too." It says it in today's account of Passion that they were deriding Christ as well. But if you read the other accounts, we know that there was a conversion that took place. Maybe that conversion started when the thief heard the prayer that Christ prayed for his enemies. And there was a change that happened within. When he heard Christ say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he says, "Who is this?" Looks, sees the sign over the head place of Christ that reads, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And then he studies Christ. And he's looking at the situation. He has a moment of grace. And he tells the other criminal, he goes, "Don't you fear God? We're receiving what we justly deserve. We lived a life of stealing and killing and crying. This man is innocent." And he looks at him and says a very imperfect prayer. "Remember me." All he asked for was a thought. And he stole Christ's heart. And the first canonization took place by the lips of the divine Savior himself. "Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." He made a good use of his moment of grace, didn't he? How about Asinistrom, the other thief, the thief on his left side? We don't hear much about him. And sadly, we don't hear that he made good use of that opportunity, the same opportunity that the other thief had. You and I, my dear friends in Christ, we have moments of grace all the time. we will have a week filled with moments of grace. That's why it's called Holy Week. But whenever we go to church and whenever we're at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, all those graces that were available to people who were at the Last Supper or people that who were at the foot of Calvary are available to us. The question is, how will we make use of those moments of grace? Are we busy in our mind playing politics or being busy about other different things? Do we throw them away? Or do we approach Christ with a humble and a contrite heart, which Scripture says the Lord will not despise? A humble and a contrite heart. The same mind which was also in Christ Jesus. He didn't need to be contrite, except he was sorry for us. And so he was humble and obedient even to the death of the cross. I remember reading on a sacristy wall that said, "Priest of God, offer this Mass as if it was your first Mass, as if it was your last Mass, as if it was your only Mass." And so, I present that to you today, people of God. Go to Mass as if it was your first Mass, or the first Mass, as if it was the last Mass, as if it was the only Mass. Make good use of these moments of grace, these infinite moments of grace, for they are given to you. They have been given to many, but so many have misused and abused them, and they no longer have them, but we still do. Let us not make Christ a figure in some fairy tale like story, but the reality that he is under the presence or under the appearance of bread and wine in the Holy Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, divinity. Let us beg for the grace this week and for every Mass that we go to make good use of these moments of grace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.